From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until...
The Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
This episode, a wide-ranging conversation with Alex Hoff of Avig Networks. We talk about network management, visibility into the network, what cloud management means, and how it impacts providers. This is a bonus episode of The Business of Tech. We connected because you guys put out your recent annual report on the sort of the state of the network. And there's one detail that I had to start with and I wanted to ask you about. The data says 57% of IT pros don't know the configuration of their network. So tell me more, and why do you think that is?
So I think, why do I think that is? I'll give you an opinion in a second. Again, we do these surveys to the broader population. We're trying to understand the state of IT, whether it be in-house IT, MSP. Do you understand what's going on? Questions like, do you understand the state of the configuration network? The answer should be yes, but it's also could be no. Like, there's so much complexity in today's network with the firewall rules. It's very easy to say, I don't know everything. And that is just a reflection of the world we live in today. I actually believe that over the coming years, whatever your time horizon is, I think networks will actually decrease in complexity. That's a personal opinion. So I don't think it's surprising that 50%, 57% of people don't have 100% visibility into it, because they also have a million other things on their plate. You can't be an expert at everything. Dave, do you know the perfect configuration of your Microsoft 365 license? But I bet you I could go figure it out, though. And that's I think, one thing that sets apart professionals in our industry is they might not know the answer right now, but I trust that they'll be able to figure it out, right? They have the capability and skill to dig into it when they need to. So it's just a prioritization exercise.
Okay, so you said something I got to ask about, because my gut says that things get more complicated, because they always do, right? Like, I think anything with technology, we always say it's simpler, but it never is. But you think networks are going to get more simple. Why is that?
So, personal belief, and I'm going to bucketize this into three different types of organizations. You have SMBs, mid-market, enterprise. Enterprise, it's probably going to get worse. It's going to get far worse. But in our industry, or at least where Avig focuses, is an SMB and mid-market, I believe that the what we had with COVID in the last 2 years, feels like, has been a acceleration to the cloud and an acceleration to embrace distributed work. So what does that mean? That means that you're going to have less assets on-premise. That means that the perimeter firewall, the local network security are probably not modus operandi number one. You're going to have more assets in the cloud. Cloud security is going to be there, but you can use other techniques like SAML, single sign-on, to refactor that security exercise. Do you need network access control in your network? You're going to hear big enterprise do that because it's a great way to control what assets come onto your network. But you can also do that with VPNs or the next generation of VPN that is cloud-based. So I think, if you think about what's the purpose of the network, is to facilitate connectivity between me, the user, and the application I use to do work. I'm at home right now. I'm using my corporate laptop on my home Wi-Fi, on my home infrastructure, on my home broadband, and I'm connected to Riverside.fm. Still doing work. Don't use any IT infrastructure.
Okay. All right. That's fair. So what that links then to my next thinking, because I've always sort of posited that managing all these devices from IoT to every kinds of basic kind of infrastructure, like all of this plethora of devices, would be catnip for solution providers, that they'd be embracing it full on. I first thought that the RMM style technologies would expand. I was wrong. They didn't end up doing that. And then companies like Avik stepped in to fill in that gap. But I still don't feel like that vision of manage all devices has really ever come true. Am I wrong? Did I misread that? Or am I just completely wrong with the way it's going?
I would say you're not wrong. You're not right. It's sort of eye in the beholder. And okay, it depends on the type of organization. So, think of a very simple organization, an accounting firm, a law firm. Actually, law firms are complex, but an accounting firm, right? If they're using cloud applications, cloud accounting tools, you know, how complex does their network need to be? What complexity do you need with IoT devices? You need a couple of widgets, that and there. But what's the role of the MSP in that place? Making sure they have access to the right tools, make sure their devices are secure, make sure their devices are up, the RMM, we talk about all of that stuff. But you know, IoT, I don't think you need to manage everything. Sometimes you just buy a thing because you need to solve a problem. And that problem doesn't need a ton of management on it. So, you know, the one interesting advent with cloud and SaaS control planes for IoT devices is someone could control it. And so, you know, when I think about an IT team or an MSP, I think about what is their core responsibility, right? Their responsibility is to ensure that their users are productive, safe, and secure. I would call it the monotonous work. Is the machine patched? Is the interface up? Is the port utilized? Is it half duplex, full duplex? Blah, blah, blah. That's boring. You should refactor that problem. You should bring in a tool, or you should bring in a partner, an MSP, to take care of the stuff that is refactorable. Because, you know, who knows your accounting firm or whatever business you're in better than anyone? No, you are the expert in that business and their IT needs. But you can take a whole chunk of that and you can partner with somebody so that you can focus on your core competencies and let an MSP focus on what they're really good at. Again, let's just go back to the simple patching, backup. You don't need to reinvent that. Partner with somebody, solve those problems. So I, you know, I think coming back to the statement, yes and no. I think, you know, if there's an industry vertical specific IoT widget they need to do, probably you need to manage that in-house, or you find a partner that can help you with that, but they might be a domain specific MSP. Or for the refactorable, I love using the word refactor, but like they can take stuff and you can just push it somewhere else, and someone who's, they're going to be better at you in that. We talked about a moment ago about network configuration. Yeah. Someone's going to know network configuration better than you. Great, hire them. Bring them in to help you make your organization better, safer, faster, secure, whatever.
Okay, so that makes some sense. And then let me ask, how do you think about zero trust security in that model? Because I think it plays in, right? The idea that if you're not managing everything, maybe you're only focused on certain devices. Do you give a lens of zero trust to thinking about this?
Yeah, so I'm a big believer in zero trust. And that was the word I was looking for before when we're talking about VPNs, the zero trust connectivity solutions. So let's think about an application. Let's pick on QuickBooks. A lot of SMBs use QuickBooks still on-prem. You can still make it zero trust. You can still expose it to your users. What you don't want to do is have distributed authentication through a thousand different applications, right? You want to, again, I'm going to berate this word this entire interview. You're going to refactor that. You're going to centralize that so it's easier for you to manage. It lowers your overall risk. Then you can layer in stuff like MFA. You can pick your favorite technology partner to help you with those things. But you want consistency and you want to lower entropy. And so when I think of zero trust, you're lowering entropy. You're not trusting devices on the network. You are putting them in sandboxes until you trust them. Users, you can't authenticate to anything unless you go through the single point. You're lowering entropy, right? How many times do we hear about users that are, you know, have privilege escalations or legacy users that were forgot to be offboarded because the process said to remove it from these 18 different applications? It's easy to make a mistake. It's better to take that mundane task and automate that with the system. There, I didn't use the word refactor it to a system.
For sure, I like it, but it's interchangeable, and I get where you're going with that. So help me then understand, okay, so I got a sense of this. If I give you the magic wand and we start projecting out, what's your kind of North Star vision of network management, the problem you're focused on here with what you're doing? What's the final vision kind of look like?
That's a great question, I guess. It's something I wrestled with today. I actually was writing up an essay today on this very topic. And the way I look at the world is, we've done a really good job here at Avik, I believe, at giving our partners visibility onto the on-premise infrastructure. We help you automate tasks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That problem is different now in the new way of work, where you have more applications in the cloud, more people remote. So the use case is still the same, that if I'm at my keyboard and I'm working and my application is slow, I'm still going to submit a ticket. I still want help because I'm not the expert. My IT person, my MSP, they're the expert. So I need them to help me. The problem with distributed work is there's a visibility gap. I don't know what that home network looks like. I don't know if your kid was streaming. I don't know if they unplugged the access point. So that's a challenge. That's like, that's a problem that vendors like ourselves are primed to solve. But the flip side is the cloud side. Like Slack was down January 4th. We talked about, hey, new year, everyone's back at work. And then the first day we're back at work, Slack's down and the world's on fire right away. And everyone's just like, oh, come on. What are you gonna do about that? The answer is Bupkis. The only thing you can really do about that is communicate to your team and say, hey, Slack's down. They're having an issue. If you have any other work to do, great. Use email, work offline. Go get a coffee. Go for a walk because, there's some really smart people presumably working on trying to resolve the Slack issue. It took them a little while. And I read the postmortem on that. It was pretty complex. So sometimes it's just out of your control. Like when Comcast has an outage in your neighborhood, pick your favorite ISP. What do you do about it? Nothing. So I think there's an element of proactivity that you could communicate with your users to help them calm their nerves. A lot of IT is just, yo, chill. Here's what we know. Here's what we're doing about it. Might not be me, might be somebody else, but here's what's happening.
All right, you opened the door because you brought up the magic word, which is cloud, right? And that's a spectrum of stuff, right? It can be a spectrum from I'm running infrastructure up in the cloud all the way to, SaaS-based applications to configuration of systems out in the way. How does what you're thinking about when you define the area of kind of network management and say you're going to extend to this new world, Where are you tackling from cloud? How does that factor in?
So I think, there's probably a roadmap of problems that we need to tackle over time. And I would say the first problem that I hear the most frequent depends on the type of business. So SMBs are step functioning. So they're going to drop QuickBooks and they're going to pick Xero or some other payroll-y type online solution. They're just going to be like export, import. That right. doesn't work for a more mature organization. They're going to take their legacy application. They're going to move it to Azure, GCP, Amazon, pick your poison. They're going to host it because that presents it solves a number of problems for availability, scalability, pricing, blah, blah, blah. Like again, it makes life better. Then they will tackle the big project of migrating to a SaaS platform one day. So I view that as a two-step function. So there's two scenarios there. Straight up SaaS applications and infrastructure as a service and getting visibility there. Okay. When you're getting visibility into infrastructure as a service, the same problems of network performance management apply. Is it working? Is it up? Is it connectivity? Is it configuration of the firewall? Like I would say there's a similar class of problems. They're going to be a little bit different. You're not going to use SNMP probably the same way you used to. You're probably going to use a native REST API, and that's the mechanics, but no one really cares. Ultimately, you want to know, is that application up? Is it running? Is it performant? So I think there's something there, and I hear that a lot.
Because you actually hit on two different things. I like the infrastructure as a service piece makes perfect sense to me. I actually think that for most SMBs, they're focusing on the SaaS world, which is, you didn't talk about. And I think that's because that's a different set of problems, be it around not only just basic availability, but that's also about configuration management. Have I secured things correctly? Do I not have open accounts? Like that kind of work. I guess, am I wrong? Am I right? And then prioritize for me. Like, where would you tackle the problem?
So I don't know how to prioritize them just yet. And we'll talk, maybe we'll come back to that in a second. But the problem that I see, like there's a bunch of other SaaS companies now that are helping you manage the cost of your licenses. They tend to target enterprise mid-market where you have proliferation of users. Like, why do you even have an account in Office 365? The last time you logged in was 2 years ago. I'm just wasting money. I would say that's an enterprise problem. It might apply to the mid-market. It might apply to the SMB at the lowest, but it's probably not a big enough problem for us to solve right now. We're still interested in understanding what SaaS applications we have. And I come back to that earlier statement I made is, what's the role and responsibility of IT? MSP, doesn't matter, it's an interchangeable word. Security, safety of their users, and productivity. So let's say we're a Microsoft shop or a Google shop, doesn't matter. Well, why is my team using Dropbox? Like, that's off-brand. Then am I sharing data that I'm not supposed to be sharing? We used to call that data loss prevention, right? Where you look at your computer, and if your computer gets stolen, what assets were on there? That industry is evolving very quickly, because I might have shared a file with Dropbox. IT doesn't have control over Dropbox because I use my personal account. So, ooh, that gets really complicated. So, you know, that presents a question of, well, what applications am I using? You know, Avik today, people know us very well for network discovery, because we discover all the thingies, all the IP addressable thingies and widgets and assets on your network, those printers, those IoT devices, those phones, great. But then the next question is, well, what SaaS applications are you using? And that's the same problem. It's still asset management. Just your assets now a SaaS application. So we, you know, one of the stats that we've, seems like 137 SaaS applications is kind of the norm for a mid-market organization. Okay, great. Well, what are they? Let alone right. Managing costs. That's the horizon beyond. But like, first, what are they? And I think there's, you know, we've done this today. We have our traffic insights. We made an acquisition a couple of years ago, a company called Talaya. Gives you deep visibility into the network traffic. And so we can see those applications. So it seems like a logical evolution is to inventory them and present them to the user and understand your risk. I mean, we actually did, going back to an example, Avik uses G Suite. And so we share all our docs in Google Drive, and we saw one of our users in the content team using, it was Dropbox actually. And we're like, why? Why were you using that? She's like, well, no, I had a legitimate use case. The other vendor that we're working with only uses that. They asked me to share the document. Peace, no problem. But what you didn't want to hear was, I didn't know that. I didn't know I was using Dropbox. Maybe it was malware. Probably a really fictitious example. It's probably like no one's that simple. But you want to understand, what's your risk there, right? What are the inventory of applications? Who's paying for stuff on their personal credit card versus corporate credit card? Like, there's just a whole bunch of inventory that you need to understand.
Okay, so this is an area you're thinking then about directionally for Avik in terms of SaaS management, SaaS alerting, like understanding that is a direction you guys are thinking about.
So I come back to the two things, right? Network performance monitoring in a world that's evolving, and IT asset management. Two things we're really good at, just broadening the definition of what your network is.
Okay, I will buy that definition. So then, and we were talking about this a little bit before we engage, so I'm gonna say here, how are you making those decisions kind of on features and products? How do you philosophically think about prioritization and making those decisions?
So I'll talk about a little bit how we manage our business. It's kind of interesting. So as a business, we try and manage this concept called the Rule of 40, where growth minus EBITDA, profit margin, and it's got to add up to 40. So 100% growth, you can lose 60%. 40% growth, you should be making $0, something like that.
Okay.
So that's not my job. That's our CEO, CFO. My job is, hey, given the allocation that we give to product and engineering, what's the pie chart? How much do we want to invest in current products to keep the lights on? So if, like, quote unquote, we had to shut down the business, how much investment do we need to do just to keep it moving, keep the bugs at bay? Then there's features that we can invest in to look at ways to improve our conversion rates, but on our existing products, improve our conversion rates, improve our retention rates, just keep our customers happy, that they continually see improvement and value in our product. Great. Then there's the growth pie. And the growth pie is really about, what's something new that we can do to add value to our customers in an area that we don't today? That might be a feature, that might be a SKU down the road. So when we think about expanding into other areas, it's like, well, there's a series of stepping stones you need to make in order to be able to maybe plug into infrastructure as a service or GCP. You don't just plug into it one day. You probably need to think about what are the building blocks that you need that are common across all these elements. And I would say that a big area of focus for AVEC over 2020 and 2021 is making sure we have those right building blocks for this kind of broader vision of what a network is and what it's going to be. We'll need better visibility into an endpoint. We'll need better visibility into the cloud. Not to say that we're going to go tackle patching tomorrow. Oh my gosh, you know, there's decades of industry knowledge out there that I don't want to learn. But we do know one thing. We know networks really well. So let's, how do we extend that visibility? And that's kind of the way I think about it. And so we have to be disciplined in the way we spend our dollars, where we allocate people. And then given that pie chart, what are the right sequence of events? And, you know, sometimes it's a bet, right? So that's the way I think about it.
Okay. Well, that, I mean, and that's great insight because, I mean, that's a great rule of thumb to apply to a business. It's one, obviously, there's multiple different ways. You know, and so what do you think, you know, is that the economics that allows you guys to make those decisions is by fitting to that, you can then allocate within that? And is, and I'll then open the door a little bit for is how are you driven towards kind of an end game? Is it be as big as possible? Is it sell the business? Is it, you know, where are you guys headed in terms of a business end game?
So I would say is, we'll back up just a tiny bit. We're talking about the pie chart. Okay. I've asked to increase the pie, make my pie bigger, right? So I can allocate more. And that's just a function of, hey, if we see an opportunity that we believe in, we've done the right homework, the right due diligence, we can absolutely invest more. But more of our philosophy is given a pie, you know, how do you slice the pie? If I want a bigger pie, you know, I put my case together, I work with my team, I go to my peers and I say, hey, this is the bet we want to make. And I got to sell that idea, just like everything else. So, you know, when we made an acquisition, we didn't just wake up one day and said, oh, we're going to go out and do something. No, we had to make a case. And I'm very proud to say that it's very successful for us. So I think that's one comment I would just clarify that, hey, we're not constrained. We need more, we can go raise money. And so that kind of leads you to your next question is, you know, I've been at this visit, you know, here's my little Lego man. Eight, you know, there's almost 9 years now. And I say, you know, why am I still here? Why am I still doing this? Why are we still functioning, growing? I'm having fun. Yeah, this year has been a little bit tough with COVID, being at home and not being able to be out on the road and learn from my peers and talk to the partners. But I would say, you know, we're really interested about the opportunity to broaden the vision for network management. Some people call it IT operations management. I think that's a broad term. There's something in between there. But that growth of the product excites me. I think that's what gets me out of bed. And to the extent that our team is rallied behind this vision to broaden, we use this phrase, from the glass of your device to the SaaS endpoint in the cloud, we want to give you that visibility to make sure your team's productive. And so that's what gets me out of bed. And, you know, we're going to continue on this journey.
Thanks for listening to this bonus episode of The Business of Tech. Remember, if you like this kind of content, you can support it directly. Visit patreon.com/MSP Radio for our Give What You Want program. Every little bit helps, and we are supported directly by listeners like you. I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.